Very, very special guest is joining us now on the Stanley Fincen Gates Hotline. That is Coach Rick Barnes. And Coach, I know you can't tell us details on the health of your student athletes due to HIPAA, and I totally respect that. But just tell me this, how are you and the guys handling the social distancing and the quarantine and everything going on?
Well, you know, the guys have been gone for quite some time. You know, once we got back from the SEC tournament, you know, everybody went their different ways. It took us a little bit of time to get our foreign players situated to where they would be gone. But we are in contact with our guys and our assistant coaches throughout. You know, we're constantly in contact with them, you know, just talking about a lot of different things and really making sure they understand that this is serious business what we're dealing with. And I think that everybody has to understand that, because it's obviously now that it's coming out that people can have the virus that might not even show any symptoms. And so the social distancing is real, and we've got to treat it that way. And so we are making sure that, you know, through contact with our players, that they understand how serious this is.
Take me back to that morning in Bridgestone Arena. I know you did, and you're very outspoken on what you thought should happen in talking with Marty Smith of ESPN, but what was it like in that arena that morning, both before the decision was made and after the decision was made, that, hey, the season may be over for us in just a matter of moments in this arena?
Well, I would really go back the day before. Before that, you know, we stopped over in Cookeville, and while we went in, and you know, we just wanted to spend time with the people, the victims over there, and the people that were really going through a tough time. And Tom Satkowiak, who you guys know, and who I love him like a brother, and he everyone knows he's a transplant. He had his liver transplanted, and he couldn't get off the bus because he was, you know, he's worried about his immune system, and so he couldn't do it. And then when we went to dinner the night before the game, I actually told him, I said, Tom, I don't think you should come to the game. But I really did see the concern in his eye, the fear in his eye that, hey, you know, this is real. And you know, a person that has any type of immunity problem, it scares you. And I'd gotten a call that night that there's 50-50 chance that we might not play. And so late at night, like 11 o'clock. So I was surprised when I woke up the next morning that we hadn't heard, because I really felt that we shouldn't play. You know, once the NBA had decided, I think they had decided, what, that day or the day before, they weren't going to play. And I'm thinking, hey, if these guys that are pros who are getting paid to play say they're not going to play, we already get beat up enough about, you know, what we don't do for our players. And I don't think anyone had even – ask the players, you know, what their concern was, because they were just going through life normally. And but, you know, they did start asking questions, you know, are we okay here, is this good, you know? And all I could say to them, you know, we trust the people that are in front of us making these decisions, but deep down inside, once the NBA shut it down, I personally felt there's no way we should play basketball. And when we walked into the arena that morning, regardless of what people say, you get 140 people. There was a different feeling when you walked in the building. It was, everybody was wondering exactly what was going on. We would have played, we would have coached, we would have done what we do, but there was definitely a different air in the whole thing. And before, I had two interviews with Marty, and the first one I actually came out and said, there's no way we should be playing this game. Alabama and us should be the first ones that say that we're not playing, because I felt strongly at that point. And it goes back to, I have a person that I love dearly that's part of our staff, Tom Satkowiak, and who knows how many other of those 140 people that were in the building or all the other teams who could be in that same situation. So it was just one of those things that I was just felt like we shouldn't play, period.
Talking with Coach Rick Barnes right now. Coach, obviously, we, like everyone who's doing their part to social distance and everything, we appreciate what you've been doing on the forefront of that. I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit. My man, John Fulkerson, Folky, this year, just walk me through a little bit. I remember talking to him a couple years ago at Media Days, and we asked him some questions, and everything he responded with was about neck up. I mean, we'd ask him a question about his jumper, and he would end up talking about something that you'd been talking to him about from a mental aspect, mental toughness, development side of the sport. And I think you're just incredible at that. And Talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, obviously the credit needs to go to John Fulkerson, but that's kind of what you do, Coach. What from the psyche standpoint, confidence, development of mental toughness, clarity, all that. Just talk to me about Fulky.
Well, you know, people forget that when we signed that class with Fulky and Grant and all those guys, that Fulky was the higher recruited of all those guys. He had more attention, right. I would say, you know, than all those guys. And if you go back, we go to North Carolina, and we're young. You know, we're basically putting all those freshmen out there against Carolina, and they've got a good team. And John Fulkerson was the best player on the floor that day. I mean, he went against those two. I can't remember the two big guys he had, but they were that tall front line he had, and he was terrific. Then he came back and took the charge, you know, against Lipscomb, and he missed literally 10 months of where he could not do anything. And at that time, while he was down, that's where Grant and guys started to emerge. When he came back, he kind of sort of just was willing to accept a role being behind those guys. And I'll tell you this, Eric, for 2 years, Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield kept telling him, don't do that. Don't defer. We want you to challenge us. We want you to want to play more and all this and all that. And so this year, you know, when we start the year out, you know, we're thinking, because he had not gotten to that point yet where he was like, okay, I can carry this load. And so we start the year thinking that, you know, that he and Eve will play the role behind Lamonte and Jordan Bowden and Josiah James. We felt like that's what would happen. Then Lamonte goes down and, you know, Jordan is struggling. Then Josiah is hurt. So now we have to do an about face where now we're going to make Fulky and Eve Pons. That's who we've got to play through. And so he had to take it. And we do spend a lot of time with him, because he's a guy that I think he's just scratching the surface. But we spend time talking to him about his passion, how he's got to go at it, the way, you know, he watched Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and Kyle Alexander, those guys, Jordan Bone, really just work. And he's gotten to that point, it took him longer because of, I think, the injury set him back to where he was just willing to – he's such a great teammate. I mean, you know, he just felt like that was his role, and we kept trying to tell him, no, that's not your role. Your role, if you beat out Grant Williams, you're going to beat out Grant Williams. You know, we want more. And I think he would tell you that during our conversations, that's been my approach to him, is that, Fulky, we want more. We want it all. And you've got so much more that you can give. And I think, truly, I he had a terrific year this year with being the number one target when he went on the floor, certainly the last half of the year. And I think he'll come back better next year. I really think he will, because of what he's had to do this year.
Coach Barnes, you just celebrated your fifth anniversary of taking the job at Tennessee. I shared some photos on my Twitter feed that I took when I followed you around on your first day, from the first team meeting with those guys to seeing the weight room, to seeing your office, which you said at the time, hey, I'm not going to be in here a lot. I'm going to set up in the gym. What are some of your memories of your first day, first week at Tennessee?
Well, to be quite honest, the fact that, you know, I thought that I would be at Texas until I retired was, you know, it was still going there. But I really had the mind that, you know, where Romans 8:28 says, you know, all things work for the good for those who believe and love God. And I feel like that God had brought me to Tennessee. That was his sovereign plan. And but when you come into a new situation like that, there's a lot going on in your mind. It's not as easy as you think, because, you know, it's not just you. It's your staff that's coming with you. It's trying to now meet with your players that are – they're your players now. Whether you recruited them or not, they're your players. And knowing that full well that – some of them aren't going to be part of the program because they're not going to make the change. And I think that when you come in as a coach, the most important thing is that you put down your culture, and knowing that there will be some guys that won't be able to do what you want done. But when I look back on that day too, I remember just there was a spirit about Tennessee that I could feel right off the bat. I mean, you could feel it. I mean, you just knew there was a – and I'd heard about, you know, the Volunteer Nation and all that. And you know, everybody thinks their fans are the greatest fans. But I can tell you, after 5 years, I don't believe there's a better fan base in all of college athletics. And I think that it's been a blessing for me to come here and be a part of this university, and I think great days are ahead for all of us once we get through this virus. But it's hard to believe it's been 5 years, to be quite honest with you.
Talking with head coach Rick Barnes right now of the Tennessee men's basketball team. And Coach Barnes, I remember seeing you in the hallway down at Neyland Stadium, and it was before the draft, and I jokingly said, hey, I've been talking to my uncle. We're drafting one of these guys up to Beantown. He's got 3 first-round picks. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but I know one of your guys is going to end up in Boston, and I just know how much Danny and his oldest son, one of his head scouts, Austin, loved all of your draft eligible players in the draft last year. And obviously Grant Williams ends up going up to Boston with a first round pick where, guess what? They absolutely love him. I just was so grateful that we got a Vol up in Boston, but neither here nor there. What's really important is, how is your wife handling having you at home, Coach?
Well, she told me, she said, at one time I thought I wanted you to retire, but I'm not so sure, and, but, you know, it's, you know, what we've tried to do, obviously we take it very serious, and we're trying to do all the right things. And you know what, both of our hearts go out, because we have been involved in the community. And just this morning, I was just thinking about the elder people, those people that are in, you know, assisted living homes, and they're there where they're pretty much locked in anyway, but now they're really probably just quarantined to their rooms. And I know they know something is going on, and to what extent they might not know exactly, but you know, we've put a lot of thought in people around us that we know that are struggling. I really, again, the other day, Eric, I thought about those young college kids that are working, that are still going to school, that have rents to pay, and mm-hmm. you know, they get laid off from the work. I mean, there's a lot of that where we just want to help. When somebody calls us, we want to be able to help people, and because we know we've been blessed, but we know this is very serious. And I think at this time of year, we've got to all really forget about ourselves and think about other people and think, okay, what can I do? Because I can assure you that there are people out there that need our help. And we feel we're tied into community with people that are going to let us know those people that need help, and we're going to be there for them. But with our own time here, you know, one day I got bored and I decided I was going to try to learn how to make corn dogs, and I did pretty good, actually. You know, I went out and bought all the supplies. You know what was the hardest thing to get? Were I wanted the Hebrew dogs, and I couldn't find them anywhere. But the hardest part of the job was sticking the stick in the dog. But once you got by that, it happens pretty quick. And I know why corn dogs are really good. It's when they come right out. I made 16, 18 of them, and before I got 6 made, I'd already eaten 3 of them. And I know why, because they're so good when they just come right out of, you know, in the grease, I guess. But it was fun to do, and I'm going to figure out a way where I can make it a little bit smoother. My wife told me I made an absolute mess, which I did, but I told her that that's what sous chefs are for, you know, and to clean up after me. And so that part was pretty good.
Coach, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll let you go on this. Where do you go next with this program? I mean, you know that things are uncertain when your guys are going to be able to come back to campus. You just picked up a grad transfer who's actually here at Knoxville working out with his sister. But what are the next steps that this program takes as you go into next year?
You know, I think I try to go back to when I was that age, and how, you know, they're all athletes today. They have dreams, and you know, and I know what our guys are trying to do, because again, we've told them they can't do anything stupid and what is locked down. But you know, back then, when you think you're invincible, that there's not going to be a basketball player that goes 4, 5, 6 weeks that doesn't touch a basketball, doesn't run, doesn't train, doesn't figure out some way somehow to do it. I don't care if it's simply in your own house with a basketball in your hand, working on ball handling drills. You can all, you know, as long as you keep your social distancing until things change, you can run, you can condition, you can do all that. So I know our guys are doing those type things. And I do know this from our conversations with them. They really do want to be back on campus, but obviously it's not where it is right now. So we all have to step back. But I know them, if they love the game, they're going to find a way to continue to work at their craft, to be good. And so when, if once the good Lord decides this is, we can all get back at doing what we're doing, you know, I think the majority of them will be ready. Well, all of them, not necessarily, but the ones that really love it, they will be, and they'll find a way to utilize this and turn it into a positive.
Coach Barnes,
you're the man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we appreciate your time, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Okay, appreciate you guys.